fourth cleric. And we are on Daf. What? Tesvav and Beis. Right. Tesvav and Beis. At the 6 line down. Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, 1 second. Guys, I'm saying shir and I'm recording. Rabbi Yochanan Yod Dinan Likrivoy Amashach. Rabbi Yochanan gave money to his relatives on oil. Yakar Mashach. The price of oil went up. Now, the question was a question of ribbis, right? Can he get back, or can he take liberty in oil, even though the price went up? Asa Shal Rabbi Yochanan, so came as Rabbi Yochanan. Armelezi said, even though you didn't yet do Mashicha, and you haven't yet done what's required for a kinyan midrabanan, midvar Torah mos konin, midaraisa money is val kinyan. The Lomar Amru ain't quit him. Why do they say they don't know who make a kinyan? The seller, after the buyer's already paid, should not say, whoops, oh, that grain that you bought, it got burnt up in my attic. So therefore, Rabbanan said, kinyan doesn't take place until Mashiach takes place. But Mida Raisa Mos Konos, and that's enough of an acquisition to avoid the problem of ribbis. That means you have a claim on the oil. Even though it went down price, you could take delivery. Okay?
The underlying principle of Hefker.
Well, not really, because here's the opposite of that, because Mida Reisley actually was already cone of the oil.
It's already cone of the oil, but when the Rabbanim took it away from him,
They took it away from him, that's true. And until he makes a Mashiach. But here, they left it in his possession until in terms of avoidance of ribbis. But it's not that they took away the kinyan mos, that is the hefker based in hefker, right?
Right.
Here they just didn't, here they relinquished to a certain extent the hefker based in hefker. They left it on the din d'oraisa, that money makes the acquisition. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Rabbi Shmuel bar Sustroi, B'shem Ravo said, if the seller says, well, actually your grain did get burnt up in the second floor, so then he is believed. That if you take a look at the Gilin Ephraim at the bottom, I think you all have a Gilin Ephraim. Gilin Ephraim says, the second line, this is like Maraponim says, the Sover Karozo holds like the Baal Amor. Shimlo Chazu Bohem, if they didn't renege on the deal, before the fire occurred, the Nisrafu, and they got burnt up in a fire, who has it got Lokeach? The damage goes to the buyer. So she to the Ba'amor, we actually don't pask in this way. Well, that even though Chazal said it ain't over till Mashiach takes place, but that's only in terms of the right to renege on the deal. But if the buyer did not renege on the deal, even though the kinyan is not complete, if a loss does occur, he suffers the loss. Okay? So according to the Ba'amor, what Chachamim gave is the right to renege until Mashiach takes place, but really does belong already to the buyer till then. So the according to the Baal Amor, what it's an incentive for the seller to save the grain, even though the grain is really not his anymore, unless the buyer reneges. It's an incentive to save the grain in order to make it easier for him to collect. Collect because I got the money. But in order for him to not have to go through court cases and all sorts of recriminations, but in fact, if the fire does occur, then and he was not able to save the grain, then the loss is sustained by the buyer. Okay? So that's what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Sustra again it says, and again, we don't paskin that way. We paskin that the kinyan is not complete till Mashiach takes place. Not that there's the right of refusal, but the right of the kinyan is not complete until the Mashiach takes place. But Rabbi Shmuel Bar Sustra is entitled to his opinion. Continuing further in the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Makshe, Rabbi Yitzchak asked, Mana Kayomi, what are we talking about? If we're talking about that the money itself made a king, and if you look again the Gilgal Ephraim, in the next place where he has a parenthesis, well, maybe I'll just restrain the Gilgal Ephraim. The next place it's parenthesis, the last word in the first column, it says, they made a condition, if they actually stipulated that money should make the Kenyan, that it's complete and total. The Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch said, the Beis Yosef and Moho, you can opt out of Takana Chachamim. This is a Shas question. When Chachamim make a Takana for you, must you abide by their Takana, or can you opt out of their Takana? So they hold that even though the Rabbanan said most Einon Konos, if you want to opt out of that and opt for most being Konos, you have the right to do so, right? So if we're talking about a case where the money already made the Kenyan, Shaloni Sirflum, continuing on in the Gilgal Ephraim, which parallels the Gemara, of course, it's the buyer's account which got burnt up. Upshito Shinamana Moicher, and obviously the sellers believe, Shamozi Mechaber Love Araya, if the good, the buyer wants to move, otherwise he's got to prove it. Vilo Konolomosov, if on the other hand, the money has not yet made the acquisition for him, shall then if from the serfu, then we should say that the sellers got burnt up. Shahab said wa moicher, because the law should be on the seller, and this would be the soiver, actually there should be a parenthesis here, the soiver kadasa goinim al-chokim razo. This conclusion of whoever speaking, Rabbi Yitzchak, is saying that not like the Baal Mori. He wants to say that it's not true that if you hold that most have not yet made a Kenyan because they did not opt out explicitly of Takonis Chochamim, then in fact the grain continues to belong to the seller. And then the person who's liable in the case of a loss is in fact the seller. Now, the Gilgal Ephraim shot really makes a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel Bar Sustra and Rabbi Yitzchak, which is the machlokas rishonim of the Baal Mor with the other rishonim, whether before Mashiach there is a kinyan or there isn't a kinyan as of yet. We don't like doing that generally, but I stared at this Yerushalmi for a great deal of time, and even Lieberman is really not sure what to do with this Yerushalmi, and he has a different girsa from the Escorial, which he brings in, and then he says maybe the Escorial is wrong. So I don't have a better shot in this Yerushalmi than this Gilgal Ephraim, so I'm going to remain with that. Okay, let's go further. Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Simon ben Levi said, Rabbi Simon said, name Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Baranash Gilev l'chavrei, an individual gives to his person to his friend Asora Dinori, $10. Ramalei says, Isli Garboch Mea, it should be a grieven, garbin. This is as Scorial says it, and I think some of them before Shemir said it as well. He says, I want to buy with these $10 100 barrels of wine. Okay, it was cheap wine. Obviously, it was more, 10 dinar was worth more than it is today. Now, I'm going to say my own shot here. It's in terms of ribis, but Lieberman has a certain shot which I don't like. And the Or Sameach has a pshat, which I don't feel comfortable with. So I'm going to say my own pshat. What I think is the pshat is like this. If he says, Mihodem Beisar Shari, now this is also Ribbis' question. He's not taking delivery right away. He's paying right away, but he's not taking delivery. So if it's from a house, if the wine is stored in a house, that's okay. Why? Because I say the wine is right now exists. Even though most ain't on konos midrabbana, but since midrash and most konos, and we said before, that's sufficient to secure an interest in the wine. Even if the price of wine goes up, that's okay. However, mehadein karma osur, if you are making a deal based on either wine or probably even the grapes themselves out in the vineyard, that's forbidden. because in that case there is simply too much benefit, because you're not really buying any wine right now, and besides that, there are risks which might occur out when it's in the vineyard. No, even if it's already wine, it might leak into the ground. Or if it's not yet wine, the grape crop might fail. And that's what Gemara is about to say. Ma'ben kerem lebayis. What's the difference between a vineyard and a house? Bayis eino motzui lipo. The wine in the house, not likely the house is going to fall in. And therefore you acquired it. Now, even if it goes up in price, delivery is okay. Kerem motzui lipo. The vineyard might well fall. There's another version here somewhere which says lisareif. It might get burnt up. And I forget whose girsa that is, but somebody brings down such a girsa. So since that's the case, so therefore, it really is much more of an investment in which you're expecting a return as opposed to a kinyan. In other words, if you're buying wine now, if you have a purchase interest in it, then even goes up in price, if your wine went up in price, it's not ribbis. But if you're investing in potential return of wine, which may come from this vineyard or may come from somewhere else, because there's so many things which can happen to a vineyard, so then this is much more of kind of a loan being extended to the owner of the vineyard, who will reciprocate later on in the wine product, and that's much more like ribbis. Is that clear?
That you're taking with it's not like a loan.
Right, and that's what makes it ribbis. That's what makes it like a loan.
So, isn't an entrepreneur allowed to get profit from the risk that he's taking?
No. He's not. That's going to be the next parak, Ezunesha. No, he's not allowed to get, he's not allowed, unless he has a true purchase interest. And what the Gemara is saying here is that this is not considered to be a true enough purchase interest. Okay, we're going to have to talk about in the next parak how that works. But no, an entrepreneur can't get returned in terms of that risk. That's not unless he, the only heter which we're going to mean, it's a big heter, but the heter we're going to see in the next parak is if he stands to sustain the loss equally with the gain. And here he didn't accept upon himself any loss. He expects to get wine, no matter what the case is. It would have to be built in that in order that it's truly investment, that there's a potential gain and a potential loss. Okay? Okay, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Achmamino, you see from this, from the case of the house, that Barnash Liyoy Vuchavre Asar Dinar, a person gives to his friend $10. Armelani says, Bimnas on the condition taken Liba Homea Grovin, you're going to give me for them 100 barrels of wine. Once the person, the owner of the house and the owner of the wine has received the money, he has to give him that commodity. In other words, it's an obligation. There might be a mishapura, but the obligation does exist. He might be able to renege and get a mishapara, but the obligation does exist. But it's the main issue, which we're talking about, is not, and there is no ribbis involved, and even delivery occurs at a much higher price, that's okay. It's not the same shtichus yad we have all over Shas. Shtichus yad here means simply that the wine merchant took the money. He cast out his hand, he stuck out his hand to take the money. I was thrown by that for a loop also, but it's not a regular shtichus yad issue. Okay, sorry about that. It's confusing to me too. Shimon Lugger says, O konomi yad amisecha. It says, or you shall acquire from the hand, the tapetei sayim ralph, of your friend. Miyad amisecha tzorich mishicha. From your friend you require mishicha. Now he holds, is also in the Bavli, Rishlakish holds mishichos doraisa. It's not just the rabbanan. Doraisa require mishicha. Ain't tzorich mishicha miyad akum, but that's only from a fellow Jew. From a goy, when you pay, you acquire. Okay? Al tapetei rishim and lakish, eisidor moser solim mishapara. According to rishim and lakish, when is there ever mishapara? After all, if there's no mishicha, there's no kinyan, right? So there should be no mishpar ever. If you hold that there's midah raisa most konas, a rabbanan took that away. So they said, well, but still, if somebody pays money and then reneges on the deal, there's a mishpar. But if you hold that there's no kinyan at all until actually, there's no kinyan at all until actually you do mishicha, so when do you ever get mishpar? So Rabbi Yisrael Rabun said that it's a visayake in Tanoah, that it's going like the following brisa. The Tani we learned, and this is not in the Bavli, Hanoisim Benoisim B'dvorim, if somebody doing business on the basis of verbal exchanges, the Shai Terzal takes out the word ain, and I'm going to go by him. Most of us hold a mishpar, he gets a mishpar nonetheless. In other words, there's a chiddush, because we hold that usually only if we hold most konos is there a mishpar. But he holds, Rish Lakish holds, that even a noisim dvorim, even promises and verbal guarantees are sufficient that if a person reneges, that he gets a mishpar on it. Okay, it's a big chiddush.
It's like the diamond from 1047.
Yeah, but see, there, you could argue it's a real kinyan. It's just they made the concept of kinyan more extensive. Rish Lakish is saying even though there is no concept of kinyan, it's just promises and guarantees, that's sufficient to require mishapara, which is a much bigger chiddush than the dime merchant handshake.
All right.
Okay. Halacha gimel. How no arba kesef simba arba kesef simba arba kesef lasela. Onoa is $4 out of every $24. Shlusel Mekov, that's a sixth of the purchase. In other words, if it's supposed to be 24, and I charge 28, right? So then that's Onoa because it's a sixth, right? Actually, the Mishnah is ambiguous. It could also be if I'm supposed to charge 20, and I charge 24. So then also would be Onoa. And that's a good issue which is going to come up in the Gemara. How long do you have until to give back the Onoa? In other words, how long do you have to renege on the deal? So Akadesh Yirel Tagal Kofa, the amount of time it takes to show another merchant or a relative to get an analysis of whether you were ripped off or not. Hor Rabbi Tarfon Lud, Rabbi Tarfon Paskin in Lud. How Noah Shmonas Kesef Lasela. Onoah is 8 Kesef per Sela, in other words, 8 out of 24. Sela, the Shlishim Mekach, up to a third. And that, of course, will give much more leeway to the sellers because they can rip off the buyers to much greater extent. The Samchut Agarei Lud, the merchants of Lud, were very happy because it gave them much more leeway to rip off their customers. Armelan, so you say, yeah, but there's a catch. The buyer can renege not just the amount of time it takes him to go to the next store and have it assessed, but the amount of time the entire day. So they said, we'd rather have the smaller shear for ripoff, but be able to rip off more people. Okay? In other words, that ripoff should take effect much quicker. You understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, that they wanted to be able to even though they would rip off only up to a sixth, not up to an eighth, not up to a third, nevertheless, it was their advantage that the buyer has a far shorter time to be able to renege on the deal.
So, volume rip-off.
Right, volume rip-off, exactly. Okay? The Chos of the Chachamim, they went back to the Chachamim, that it's only until they can get to the next door to relative to assess the situation. So both the buyer and seller can be ripped off depending on the situation. Just like there's onoya for a commoner, so too there's cheating for a targo, for a professional individual. If he's a professional salesman, then he should have made sure of the deal himself. Then it's his own responsibility. We don't guarantee him away from Onoa. The guy was ripped off, he has the option. He has he can exercise the option, which means here he has a superior hand. He can say, either give me back my money, Ol Masha and Nisani, or get the entire transaction, or give me the no, whatever the no is. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Rava Mashiru, Rabbi Yochanan Lesu Shura. So a lot of interpretations of this. If you look in the Ritbaz, in the narrow lines of Ritbaz, it's on the left-hand top corner, in the narrow lines counting down from the first narrow line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down in the narrow lines. Okay? That's the next thing. One second, where is it? I had that underlined, so I assume that's what I wanted to show you. No, it's before that. At the beginning, Rava Mashirhu perish to ain't no pachus mi'arba kesef. There is no less than $4. Kimbo the tiyan b'mastiso no arba kesef misim b'arba kesef l'sala. In other words, ono has to reach a certain level of significance. And he goes on and says in the next line, ain't no l'prutos, right? In other words, if I rip you off by a few pennies, even if those pennies are very high proportion of the sale, it was, let's say, bubblegum sells in one store for a nickel and another store for a dime, right? So that's 100% ripoff, right? But there's no ripoff on less than $4. That's what the Gemara of the Mishnah wants to say. There has to be a specific measure in order to, minimum bar, in order to achieve the concept of onah. Okay? Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, I'm lazy sure. No, it's not a minimum. There is a no matter how small. In other words, if I supposed to cost a nickel and I charge you 6 cents, that's a no as well. There is no shear. Now that's one shot. If you look at the frame on the bottom, where he gives another shot, which is also quite possible. Rava Mar Shiru Klomar Bepachos Mishtus Mutter Lohenas. I'm allowed to rip you off by less than a sixth. It's not that ethics demands that I don't rip you off at all. No, I can rip you up off to a sixth. It's a shear. After that, I can charge up to a sixth, and that's not a problem. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leisu Shira, the Gam Bepachas Mishtus Oser Leonos. I can't, if I know that I'm ripping you off, I can't rip you off even by less than a sixth. That's what he says. And he says that the Rosh is the topic, prepared that both Chav, so the Gilin Ephraim again makes the two issues here contingent on an issue which Rishonim raised in the Bavli, but that's okay, I guess. So, name it, so the two interpretations just showed you the Ritbaz that Shear and less than a Shear, or Shear and not Shear, has to do with whether there's a minimum benchmark threshold for Onda. And according to the Ephraim, their machlokas is whether you are allowed to do Ono in less than a quarter, less than a sixth. Now, Rav Amar, Rav says, going back to Gemara, the last line, Rav Amar called no save and no say, b'nash ain lo Ono, if somebody makes a condition that Ono does not apply to his transactions, it's totally. The Ritbaz says, which I was going to show you before, just says that this other statement Rav is going to do the previous statement, just to, since Rav said that one, bring down Rav said this one as well. Kol nosim nosim nashe in lo no, anybody makes a trade on the condition that there is no no, yesh lo no, there is no involved, that's a classic issue of master mashkosa batera. He can't make a condition against the Torah said. The Torah says there is a concept of Ono. You can't say, well, let Ono not apply to me. What you can do, it's the Bible discusses, you can say that, you can stipulate that the guy must be Moichel Yudh Ono, but you can't stipulate that Ono is not applicable to this at all. So it might be semantics, but it depends if you're going against the grain of Torah or trying to circumvent the Torah. Going against the grain is Osir, circumventing is not Osir. Okay, but. Well, it's not that blatant, but you know, you get the idea. It's a similar idea, yes. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter, Omer Beis. Tani Rabbi Levi, the Escorial takes out the Rabbi. There was no, the Rabbi Levi was an Amoira, and this Levi is a Tano. Tani Levi ho no pruta. Ono is a pruta. And in other words, even if you ripped off by a pruta, which is obviously Rabbi Yochanan, according to the friend, like Rabbi Yochanan said before, that there is the minimum shear is a pruta, not four kesef. And the next one should be, as Skoriel says, and the soul change instead of Ono again, which is redundant, should be Hodoya Pruta. It's later, Mishnah later on, which I don't know if we'll get to tonight, but which says that the shear, the minimum shear for Moida Mimikzas, the minimum shear for somebody who concedes that he's liable, is at least a Pruta. He can't concede less than that. Elo Noa Atzmo Mau. Now, the question seems to be, what if it's exactly a sixth? The Onoah is exactly a sixth. What's the status? In other words, we know less than a sixth is not Onoah. More than a sixth is Onoah. What about is that exactly a sixth? So but Rushami says, you're saying the Bible says, Tani Nikne HaMekach. No, but Metzia. It isn't. Oh, but that's the one where they kick Rabbi Yirmi out of the base medrash.
Right.
No, but this is very common. It seems from this whole parent, from Azov, that it was very common that to measure in increments of six. In other words, it's not an infrequent question here. Because of the way their monetarism is based, and the truth is, you're going to England next week, I think the English system, before they changed over to metric, was also based on sixes. That was seems to be very common because six and 12 are very easily divisible numbers. There are many divisors, so I'm pretty sure that six was a very common shear of Onoah in the old days. It's not like the dove standing exactly at 50 amos, one leg over one way, one the other way. It's not an infrequent occurrence. So El Onoah Atzam out. So Tain Dikta Mecca Chozul Onoah. So the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the Mecca is acquired. And but you give back the Onoah. In other words, it doesn't cancel the sale. The sale is sustained, and nobody can renege. But you do give back the difference. The Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Now, since Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, obviously next opinion here cannot be that of Rabbi Yochanan. Has to be somebody else. So the Shai Tezo changes it to Rabbi Nosson, which I think is actually might be what it says in the Bavli. Rabbi Nosson Omer. Bartel Mikho, the sale is nullified. Even at precisely six, the sale is nullified. Okay? Kana boy kumi rav. Everybody still there?
Yeah.
Okay? Kana boy kumi rav. Kana asked in front of rav. Bishosha moichar misane. Now, this is a question of arithmetic. The percentages don't work out. If you say that 24, 4 is a variation on 24, which is considered to be Onoah. Sometimes 4, that means if the sale was supposed to be 20 and the Onoah was 4, so actually that is an Onoah of a fifth, right? If 20 was supposed to be the price, and if the Onoah was 4, so it's a fifth. It's a sixth of the new total. It's 4 is a sixth of 24, but it's a fifth off of the old total. And vice versa, if the sale was supposed to be 24 and the sale was instead 28, so that's a sixth of the old total, but a seventh of the new total, right? So you got that math?
Yep.
Yes. So yes, when the moicher is ripped off, that means he's getting underpaid. He's only getting paid 20 instead of 24. So the latitude is up to a fifth. It's true. It's a sixth of the 24, but he's actually getting paid 20, and 4 is a fifth of 20. So you're actually giving latitude up to a fifth. B'shosh lokeach misana. Yet when the buyer is ripped off, that means he's getting charged 28 instead of 24 misana shtus. Then it's only actually a sixth, the sixth of 24. So where's the justice? So in other words, the ratios are not equal. So Amalei, so he said, no, not such a great question. Huvanayoso, the vav here is taken out by this Goryal, the little vav, the Binyamin Starfin. Amalei, Huvanayoso, Starfin, Achtus. In other words, whatever way we can consider it a six, this is basically the Bavli says, well, whatever way you consider a six, is considered a six. We're kind of, lax. about the standards of a sixth. The fifth could be a sixth, the seventh could be a sixth, as long as it works out to be a sixth. Okay? Says the Gemara, Machar lo shaveh chamisha b'shisha. If he sold something worth five for six, right? Yochel may marley. I think it's actually a question, if I recall correctly from my preparing. Let me see this. Can he say to him, in other words, he sold him something, the seller got ripped off, right? It's only worth five. The buyer got ripped off, sorry. It was only worth $5, but he sold it for $6, right? So Yochum Emerle, so can the seller say to the buyer, Chadina igraft, you were ripped off by $1, Sadinar, I'll give you back your dollar. Now, igraft is ripped off. There's a gears in the Scorial, igracht, which is in line actually with the next statement here. Igracht means you were made a laughing stock by a dollar. I'll give you back the dollar. Rabbi Zer said, no, Yochel Memra, the buyer, it's really a kasha. Why do you say that the buyer has the right to renege? Let the buyer just get, on the entire deal, let the buyer just get back the extra buck, right? So says Arm Rebbe Zeres, it says, Yochel Meimarle, interesting, it's not in the Bavli, this language. Rebbe Zeres said, Yochel Meimarle could say, Leis Ikre, it's not my honor, the Ombiyasa Omrin, that people will say, Ploini Ikach. So there's a word in Hebrew, modern slang Hebrew. I don't think there's necessarily the equivalent in English, which is Freyer. I don't want them to call me a friar, meaning I don't want them to call me, somebody who's naive and not wise to the ways of the world and a loser. All those components go into that slang Hebrew word friar. So I don't want them to call me, I don't want them to make fun of me that I'm not sharp in doing business. So not only am I going to get back the dollar, that would not suffice. Because then you'll be able to go around telling people, or people will know that I fell for this thing. No, I want the whole deal to be canceled, and he has the right to do so. So it's because of this psychological need, we actually shape the halacha this way. Okay? So again, ikrach means that so-and-so was made of laughing stock. Viz the boy Meimar. Some say that he has another time. He can say, Yochel Meimar, he can say, Leisu Yakri, instead the buyer could say, it's not my coin to my honor, Malbush Bechamisha Dinar, to wear a $5 shirt. In other words, yes, it's true, you rectify the situation by giving back my dollar. And instead of having paid $6 for the shirt, I would pay if I would be wearing a $5 shirt. But a Chveis, a $5 shirt, it's not Lefi Kvaiti in and of itself. I need a more Choshev shirt than that. And therefore, he can renege on the deal. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yosha, Amri, they all said, My time of the Hain, Tanya. What's the reason for this Bryce, I think it is? Yoda Ana Delohavis, this is a difficult line. One second. Another reason why he can renege on the deal. They said, my time of the entire, what's the reason he can renege on the deal, even if he's willing to get back your dollar, which got ripped off? He says like this. Now, this guy actually is a shrewd businessman. He says, you know what? The buyer says, Yoda Ana, I knew when I bought for $6. The law havas mikimti tava. Mikimti, I don't know what the word comes from, but it means to purchase the object. This thing was in the tava, even though it's written here with the tav, is as if it's written with the tes. I knew that this object I'm purchasing was not worth, it wasn't valued, el chamisha dinarim. I knew that. Now the Havas Dochikle, but since I needed it badly, Yave Ashita Dinarim, I paid you $6. But I knew from the beginning with that you were from the get go that you were a stinker. And I had to get it at that time, so therefore I had no choice but to pay it. Now, Sati Doch, you take back the object, Vahavdi D, give me back my $6. Which is an amazing thing. It seems like almost that the buyer is being, to me it seems, that the buyer is being unethical in this case, right? Because, you know, but I guess, you know, it's like the Yaakov with Lavan. In other words, with a shrewd person or a tricky person, you could be tricky yourself. So he says, so he knew originally, he didn't have das ever to truly be koinet. There's really no das to be koinet, just that he was playing the game with the seller. The seller wanted to rip him off, so he turned the tables on the seller, and now the seller has to bear the brunt of that turning of the tables.
What time frame he has on this?
Well, I assume it's a sale. It's a good question. I require the time frame should only be until you can show it to a Tagor or to Krovo.
Right.
Which may mean only a short period of time. But in a small town, you get more time than that. Not because small towns are different, but rather it takes longer to find a merchant. So maybe this is like in a small town, so the merchants only come from Monday to Thursday. So then he would have a little bit longer time to go and ascertain. You're right, theoretically, would not this time should not apply very often.
And the buyer didn't use
the... Excuse me?
Time period. The buyer didn't use the object, whatever he was buying, he didn't use it.
Right, he didn't use it in a way which would use it up, obviously. Is that what you mean to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, then he wouldn't be able to return. That's right. Marla Shavir Shava Chamisha Vishisha. The seller ripped off the buyer. In this case is also a similar case in the Bible. The seller ripped off the buyer. He sold him something which was worth 5 for $6. But lois people solved the thing, but they were not able to negotiate a settlement. Achokim Sheva until now went up the price, it's worth 7. Okay? So now it's not in the interest of the buyer to give it back. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Rabbi Avob Shem Yehud said, tough! Kishem Shabbatam Eitzazeh, Kach Batam Izeh. It's like the seller's deal to the buyer has been nullified, so too the buyer now cannot hold it back from the seller, he's got to give it back. Okay? So it's an interesting concept. In other words, you have to, even though it's the advantage of the person who was the tricky guy, nevertheless, he has to give it back. Now they're going to ask a question on that. That's number not finished with that. Says Mar Tam, it's in the top of Yudzam and Alf. Wait a second. Tam, if you went over there, Basra, Arba Midas B'Mechim. There are four categories of sellers. Machlo Chitim Yafos, if you sold him good wheat, Nimtzu Ros, and it turned out that it was, on the premise it was good wheat, obviously, and it turned out that it was bad wheat, Lokeach Yochel Lachsebo, the buyer can renege on the deal, right? Because obviously he was expecting to get wood, good ones. Ros Nimtzu Yafos, if he sold them good grain, and it turned out, sold him grain which was presented as being interior grain, came to the office and it turned out that was good grain, the seller can renege. So if that's the case, it would seem here that it all depends who was misrepresenting and who therefore suffered as a result. And here certainly the seller misrepresented the buyer. The buyer didn't misrepresent anything. It happened to be his good luck. So why should the seller be able to renege now on the deal if the buyer does not want to renege on the deal? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Bun, Yosi Rabbi Bun said, V'saya kan tano na noisim noisim edvarim. He says, Lieberman brings down a shot here, which from Rishonim, it's not his own. He says that Lisa Velitain means Well, initially we thought lisa v'lite means to give back the honor, and therefore we had an issue: do you have to give back or not give back? So he says that when it says lisa v'lite back on the bottom of Yutesayim Beis, says chamisha b'shisha lo speak lisa v'lite at yehokir misheva. That now one second. I'm not sure I understand what I wrote here myself. Just give me a second here. Let me see if I can reconstruct it. So again, let me read it out. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bun, V'sayek ein tana, neisiv neisiv dvarim, ein misa so mishapora. It means even if he agrees, I think this is what it means. Even when it says on the bottom of Tezayin of a base, where chamisha b'shish lo yisbik lisa l'tein atcho hokir misheva, that Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yidibur and Rabbi Avoh B'shem Rabbi Yochanan said Kshenshi Bata Meitzekach Bata Meitzek. It doesn't mean that the seller has the right to nullify the sale now, in which he ripped off the buyer, because he says, well, it's true I ripped you off, but now since it's my advantage to renege, I'm calling the rip off. That's what we thought initially. Let me go into that a little bit greater detail. What we thought initially is that the price is saying like this: the seller whipped off the buyer. The buyer wants to renege. Then the buyer sees an advantage because it went up to beyond his purchase price. Now the seller wants to exercise the option of saying, it's true I ripped you off, but din is din. The halacha is that whenever there's a ripoff, we nullify the sale. So I'm exercising nullification, right? So that was what we initially understood. So then we said, that's not fair. And we brought down this brisa here on the top of Yud Zayin and Aleph, which says that it depends who was misrepresented and who was misled. But so here the seller shouldn't have the right to renege. He's the one who misrepresented and misled. He should suffer the consequences. So then the Gemara brings up Rabbi Yisrael Bun, who says, you're right. Of course that's the case. What it means is like this. Let's say the buyer already committed. He committed to give back the object to the seller. And now he wants to pull out of it, because obviously he sees an advantage. We're saying that in this case, there is no mishapora. The buyer can renege on the deal. Why? Because he sees that ultimately it's his advantage to keep it. He can do, even though we agreed to give it back to the seller, nevertheless, now that he has not yet done so, and it's gone up in price, there's no mishapora issue. That's what it means to say. Even though they already agreed to give the object back, since it wasn't actually done already, so therefore, Amy Moser Sol Mishapora, the buyer can renege on the deal to give it back, and he can be mevatel that deal, and he gets to keep it himself. So actually now that I'm saying it over again, I see that there's a little, what's complicated here is that back on Tezayin Amud Beis, when it says, that means he hasn't yet given it back, so he can renege on the deal. That's Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yisrael Bun says, just like initially the buyer can nullify it vis-a-vis the seller, now the buyer can nullify vis-a-vis himself and say he wants to keep it instead. But when it says here on Yudzayin Amud Aleph that Rabbi Bun says, Rabbi Yisrael Bun says, that that's talking about where there's verbal negotiations. In other words, where only verbal negotiations take place and there hasn't yet been actual giving back and forth, then there is no Mishapara yet. So what it here it says, since there only were no save and no save at Dvarim, and they weren't yet no save and no save biyadayim, that's why there's no Mishapara, and that's why the buyer gets to keep the object he had. Okay? So again, well, initially we thought that the buyer has to give it back. The sale is null and void. Now we're saying altogether, even to the advantage of the seller. Now we're saying that that's not the case. Now we're saying that the buyer has the right to renege on his agreement to give it back to the seller. That's what it meant to begin with. Okay? A little bit complicated, but I think that that's the covenant of Shah. Okay. Halacha Daled. The commentator Selach is saying, now we're switching from talking about objects to talking about money. And of course, you know, in the old days, money was evaluated by weight plus imprint, right? So obviously, weights were constantly wearing down in the coins. So how much weight can a silver coin be missing and still be considered to be the coin? So commentator Selach is saying, I won't be cheating a person to use this coin to pay for objects. So four isaros when there's an isar ledinar. In other words, that's also the shear of all over of 1/6 basically. Four isaros when there's an isar ledinar is the shear of 1/6. Don't ask me exactly how it works out, but somehow it works out. The same Moshe says, but I have no desire to figure it out. Right, you know that. Arva pundionos bipundion ledinar, which is a smaller measure. I'm wrong. On the contrary, these are higher standards, these are finer standards. Then I think this is actually 1/24. And if you don't mean arva pundionos bipundion ledinar, that's 1/12. Because by money, he says, and Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shmona Pudios, Shem Pudios, and dinner, that's 1/6. So in other words, on the contrary, here the first two Tanaim are saying, by money, there's a much finer,
threshold,
right. Much finer threshold, because obviously money has to be more exactly worth what it purports to be worth than an object. Okay? So Tani. So we learned, Yoyser Mikan Motzia B'Shova Sela. No, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Tani Yoyser Mikan Motzia B'Shova. If it's greater, in other words, there's more weight to it than the shear of Onoa, then you give it to, you can spend it as its full value. In other words, depending on which time we're holding, like whether it's 1/24, 1/12, 1/6, if it's within that proportion, you can spend it at its full worth. Now, Yoyser Misela Ad Shekel. Now, a Sela is negotiable even if it's at less than full value because it's it has surpassed the threshold at which it can be regarded as full value. You could still use it until it's half size, Ad Shekel. And obviously use it at its current value, whatever that might be. A Dinar, you can use Ad Rova, which is half of its value. Pachas Mikan, less than that, however, Afilu Kisor, even if it's gone down in size to a quarter of its original size, and now it looks like a quarter, so it does look like a dollar, it does look like half, now it looks like a quarter, so spend it like a quarter, no, then you're not allowed to use it anymore. And Yochalotia, you can only spend it up to half when it's lost half its weight. And of course, once it's gone beyond the shear of either 12, 24, the 12, 36, you have to use it at its current value, but once it goes below half of its original face value, you can't use it at all. Okay? Now, Haisa Yaitse, now the Gemara now brings on a very weird case. Though that's basically till now with the Bavli as well. Now it brings on a very weird case, and I think it's a Pella, but I'm there is no shot here which makes sense to me monetarily. There are two types of things. There's a coin and a slug. In modern Hebrew, it's also called an asimon. was it, we don't, they don't use them in Israel anymore, but they used to be out the phone tokens. Do you guys remember those phone tokens?
With the hole in the middle.
Right. Those were called asimonim. Because they weren't coins. They were slugs. They were slugs with imprints, but they were slugs. They had no face value. That's the post office used to raise the price in accordance with the the current cost of a phone call, whatever that would be, right? So that's called an asimon, has no face value. So you might say, asimon besela. Let's say you have a coin, which it was used as an asimon, it would actually be worth more. But it was used as a matbea, it would only be worth half of that, a shekel. I don't know where you have such a reality, but there's such a thing. A coin which used as a slug would be worth twice its value as a coin, right? Or vice versa. Alasimon b'shekel. This makes more sense to me. Used as a slug, it's worth half its value. Amabeh, used a coin, it's worth its full value. So in both these cases, eino ela tzuras amabeh. You have to use it based on its value as the coin, as in terms of the imprint which is upon it. In other words, that even if it's going to be worth more as an asimon, nevertheless you have to go as a coin because it has an imprinted value placed upon it. It follows the full parameters of a coin. Okay, now once the coin is too small, then you can't use it anymore. You can give it a little charam, not to somebody who's a thief, nor a murderer. In other words, you want to give it as a bribe or payment to an evil person. So you would think it's okay. It's not okay. Because they're going to use it to cheat other people. So you can't use it even for that purpose of paying off bad people. All you could do is put a hole in it, the toilet b'tav b'no, and put it around your son's neck as a necklace. Now the Bavli, it says, around your son or your daughter's neck. But it only says Tzavra, but no. So I'm not sure exactly whether there's any machlokes, or Yosher brings up that point. I'm not sure if there's any difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi of that. But he does say that the Rambam probably noted the difference, because the Rambam says, when he passes in the letter, it says, V'tola b'tzavra kotom. Okay, he doesn't, kotom, which can include ben or bas, I guess. But I'm not sure. Anyway, so there is that difference. But I'm wondering, when is this all true? Bedinarim usloim, by silver coins. Avo bedinarim usloim, but by gold coins, and matbeos here means matbeos kesa, large silver coins, unlike regular silver coins, which are where the weight is much more of an issue. Motzim b'shavya. In other words, there the imprint pales in comparison to the weight. And there, we have to take the weight much more to account than we do by a silver coin, so a smaller silver coin. Small silver coin, the denomination printed upon it has much more significance than the weight, vice versa, by gold coins and large silver coins. Okay? Kashem Shavuotin L'chulin, whatever the parameters are for using for chulin, Kachamutzi and Maizu Sheni are the same parameters for Maizu Sheni, in terms of redeeming Maizu Sheni on it. Uvavachli Skavin L'otzion, however, you shouldn't have in mind the Escorial adds the Maizu Sheni. You shouldn't specifically have in mind to use lousy coins to hoard them all for the purpose of Maizu Sheni. But yeah, if it happens to be that that's one you have, and if it's the parameters theoretically of circulation, so you use it for Maizu Sheni. But you should not intend to use all your inferior coins for the purpose of Maizu Sheni. Okay? Now, concerning coins, at Amosai Mutal Al-Zir, to when can you give back a coin? If you find that the coin is missing, there's a no on the coin. Bikrochin in Metropolis is Akadeshira Shukhani until the time you could show it to a money changer, which might be a few moments. Bikfarim, but in villages, like I mentioned before, some of them is different. Shia, Ad Arabi Shabbos is until next Friday, when they obviously people come to town to sell for Shabbos and you get some expert opinion as to the value of your coin. Now this is going back on any or not. I'm not sure, but I think it's going back on any or not, just on the coin. If the guy recognized that it was his coin, which he spent in somebody's store, and it was a bad coin, and he's, as the name Moshe says, he's a pious person. I feel like his name is a chodesh b'kavim, and even after 12 months, he should accept it back and give a refund for having spent the wrong coin, a bump coin. Turning the page, design base. However, if he's not a chassid and he doesn't want 12 months later to reimburse you, and lo love el tiron, he's going to be upset, but you don't have any recourse in court. The noise of Maizu Sheni, as you mentioned before, you can give it to Maizu Sheni, even if it's not such a good coin. Ve'ena chayshish, it's not a problem. Sheni el nefeshroa, so you're only a stingy, miserly stinker, but you're not actually transgressing the halacha. Okay, bad mitos, but not bad compliance with halacha. Ha'onoi arba kesef. Onoa, as you mentioned before, the shear is $4 out of 24. A claim in court which generates can generate a shua, his stake as of his two silver coins, via doya, the confession which generates a shua, moida mitzvah is a shava pruta. Chamesh prutas, and there are five prutas altogether. Hodoya shava pruta, confession in the case of a loan is a shava pruta. Lisham is kadesh is a shava pruta, woman gets married, the value of a pruta. Vanena shava pruta, min akdish, somebody derives a shava pruta, anor from akdish. Commits Mila. Hamotzi Shavar Pruta Chayav Lachri. So he buys the Shavar Pruta, must make an announcement in the marketplace that he found this lost object. Now obviously, it's not a Pruta itself. Money itself, you don't make Achraza, but the value of a Pruta. Hagoyzus Chaver Shavar Pruta. If somebody steals a friend, even the value of Pruta, finish below, and he takes an oath to him falsely that he did not steal. You have to take it to him and follow him until you can return. I feel more that even to the distant ends of the earth, to media. There are five fifths, which are, of course, penalty fines imposed on top of the principle. If you eat truma in Yisrael, which was meiser in Yisrael, which was meiser, even truma is meiser of questionably tight things. Chala or Bikurim, all these are specifically intended for Kohanim. If you, when you come to make reparations, Moisiv Chamishu out of fifth. Hapoid and Netarvai, similarly, if somebody eats, the growth of the fourth year of his orchards, which is holy, Umayzu Sheni is Shiloh, and both of these are Shiloh, or Umayzu Sheni, both of them, when you're redeeming your own, not redeeming somebody else's stuff. Moisiv Chamishu out of fifth. Hapoid Ekdesh, if redeeming your own Ekdesh, Moisiv Chamishu out of fifth. Vanena Shar Putim in Ekdesh, and somebody derives another Shar Putim from Ekdesh, is also Moisiv Chamishu adds a fifth as well. But Gozos Chaveir Shar Putim, somebody steals from his friend the value of a Putim of Inishbalo, and he takes a false oath to him, Moisiv Chamishu adds a fifth as well. Okay? Now, the line at the beginning of the Gemara here, I stared at this and stared at this. I worked this a long time today until finally came up with a pshat. And here this pshat echoes Lieberman and the Shartari, so they both changed the girsa, and they're wrong. There's no, the scorial doesn't change the girsa, and obviously it was a mistake on their part. Poor judgment. But I think I have pshat here. But I'm going to pull like the Kuhin of Fryan did and explain this on the basis of Shitas Rishonim. Normally, you can only redeem Maizu Sheni money on fruit and fruit on money. Everybody knows that?
Yeah.
Right. Fruit, when you have the fruit, you redeem it on money. When you come to Shlaim, you take the money and buy fruit with it, right? Sometimes, and he brings down here the Pnei Moshe as a brisa, sometimes you can redeem money on money. But usually you can only redeem one type of money on another type of money. For example, you redeem silver on copper or copper on silver. Okay? Now, the question is, can you ever redeem silver on silver? The Rambam says not. You can't. Says you can't. You can never redeem silver on silver nor copper on copper. But the Rosh in his parish on the Mishnayis, in the first parak of Demai, Mishnah Beis, and the second parak of Mishnah Mishnevah, which the Franco Rambam brings down there, that's how I noticed it, says you can redeem silver on silver when the silver coin on which you're redeeming is more current, more liquid than the initial silver coin, which would be called Yofeh versus Raw. So that's what Chizki actually says here, this Din of the Rosh. If you're making the money you're gathering the money to go up to Yerushalayim, that's the way today Moshe explains it, then you could take less good silver coins and upgrade them to better silver coins, which is actually the Allah of the Rosh. Now, however, Chizkiah's second point here is questionable. Now, this is going in case that the Pnei Moshe is discussing here. If you come to redeem, you had a lot of, actually not yet the Pnei Moshe is coming, sorry. You had a lot of copper coins. Because redeem Ma'aser Sheni many times over, right? Which people used to do on copper coins, because each time they redeem a little bit of Ma'aser Sheni. But now you want to make it into a silver coin to take the Yerushalayim, so you have less bulky stuff to take, because there are 192 prutos in a silver coin, so you want to take much less bulk when you travel to Yerushalayim. The airlines have luggage restrictions. So, then you can take the prutos of Nechoshes, the copper coins, and join them together, and then exchange them for even a lousy silver coin, not just a superior silver coin, even for inferior silver coin. So the Gemara has a kasha on this latter statement. Well, Tina, didn't we learn? Now, this is the case that Pnei Moshe brings down here. If you had a guy had two coins of Ma'aser Sheni, both silver, one inferior, one superior. I'm sorry, mistake. He had two coins of silver, one inferior, one superior. One of the Ma'aser Sheni, one was not. He doesn't remember which one, and they got mixed together. So what does he do? So he redeems he takes the silver and copper coins, because it's possible to redeem silver and copper, even coins of the Rambam. He takes copper coins, and he says, let the silver coin be redeemed on these copper coins, whichever silver coin is the coin which is initially Ma'aser Sheni. And then he uses copper coins. You obviously take enough copper coins, and you use them to buy back the better silver coin, and then redeem back that which you redeemed on the copper coin, wherever it was, whichever of the two was. You now use those silver copper coins in turn to buy back one of the silver coins. And it says which one do you have to buy, obviously? The better one. So if that's the case, how come Chizkiah says in this case you can use copper coins to buy an inferior silver coin? Did we learn that way the two silver coins get mixed up, one Chulin and one Ma'aser Sheni, and redeem them a copper, and you buy back with copper, you have to buy back the better coin. But then you choose the better one and you mechal the copper on it. So says Mark, it's an obvious answer. I don't know even why the Mark asked the question. Says, well, first one finishes asking the question though. For Yovar Arah, the Aso saw, when you're buying back with the copper, buy back the inferior coin. Says, well, no. Omar, he said, Shan Yohi Hocha Shekvar Huchuk by Ma'aser Sheni. It may well be that this better coin was the initial Ma'aser Sheni coin. No, it's when you're going from scratch, from copper to silver, so it's not incumbent upon you to buy a better silver coin. But when you have two coins which are mixed together, and perhaps the better coin was the Ma'aser Sheni coin, then of course if you redeem on the copper and then want to go back to silver, you have to go back to the better silver coin. It's a pashut chiluk. Okay? Let's just finish the bottom of the umbra. Is that okay? A couple more minutes. Nois the Ma'aser Sheni. This is a header from the Mishnah. You give it to Ma'aser Sheni, ben ochoshi sheni, sheni will never draw, even a defective coin. Well, we're not going to discuss that. We're going to discuss one of the shrewish say the chule over here. We're going to discuss one of the next points in the Mishnah. Yaakov Azad, the Yerim Shem and Simon said, the Chol Ma'aser Sheni she'en b'krono shav apruta ein moisiv chaymish. Famous machlok is also in the Bavli. If you have Ma'aser Sheni and there isn't in the principle of Ma'aser Sheni a pruta, then you don't add on a fifth and you're redeeming it. Right? So the Ma'aser Sheni itself is worth a pruta. Rabbi Yochum Shem said, no. Much more than that. Chol Ma'aser Sheni b'chum shoch shavah pruta. Anytime the chomesh won't be worth a pruta, ain't mostly chomesh. So the minimum in order to redeem Ma'aser Sheni and add a chomesh coin to him is that the Ma'aser Sheni be worth not a pruta, but four prutos. Once it's worth four prutos, a chomesh of four, one of the Gemara's chomeshes, is one, because four plus one equals five, right? So according to him, the pruta has the chomesh is worth at least 4 cents in order to redeem it. Otherwise, there's no redemption. Because 4 cents in order to add on a chomesh, because the chomesh is worth the pruta. Okay, so that's the basic focus. Is Masisim Messiah David? Is Masisim Messiah David? Is a Brisa which assists each one of them. The Tani we learn, Mimasro, Prabhupada Pachas Mishava Pruta. You redeem from your Meister and add a fifth, except when it says Mishava Pruta. Adamar, as Brisa teaches us, Achiba Kona Shava Pruta, that the principle is where Shava Pruta. Tani Chon learned another Brisa. Tani Ma, we learned it says, Tani Maso Chamishiso. For the Meiser, it's fifth. And Prat the Pogos Mishavar Pruta, there it precludes where the Chomish is listed Mishavar Pruta. But the Amra, that Brisa teaches us, Achev Chumshur Shavar Pruta, that the Chomish has built the Pruta. Amrav by Memor, said, Armish the plate it's safe. Armish over here at the top of the oven. Mastisa loka dein, loka dein. Armish is not indicative either way. The Tina learns, says in our Mishnah, Chamisha Pruta is saying, just says there are five Prutos. Velo Tina Acheba Kamisha Pruta doesn't weigh in on whether the principle is where the Shav Pruta or the Chomish is where the Shav Pruta. Utina, on the other hand, it says Chamisha Chumshine, it says the five fifths. Doesn't say over there that the Chomesh has to be a Shavar Pruta either. So it doesn't weigh in either way. Let's just do the next halacha. It's very short and very easy. Halacha buff. Veil Dvarim Shein L'Monoi. These are things which don't have Onoi at all. Because they're all linked to land, and land has no Onoi. Land has no Onoi because it says Metalflin in the parasha. It says, Moshe brings down, Okonomi Yadam Yitzecha. Which can be given from hand to hand. So therefore, Abodim, which are linked to Karkos, don't have Ono, and Hashtoros are not something which are Gufa Mammon. They're not worth money in itself. They're representative of money. So therefore, they're not considered to be like Metalflin. For Karkos, of course, real estate is the ultimate non-metalflin. For Hekdashos and Hekdash, there's no ownership in it. So who's getting ripped off? And therefore, ein ben lo tashlume kefil, there's no payment of double if any of these things are stolen. Lo tashlume arachavishin are four or five. Shor mechinam ein anishpa. Shor mechinam does not take a shvur on any of these types of things given to Mishmira, because the parish of Shmira Sherman is by classic metalflin. These are not classic metalflin. Shor mesoch ein amishayim, so shor mesoch also doesn't take these are not classic metalflin. Rabbi Shimon says, let's say you have a korban which got a mum. And you need to replace that korban. So kachim shulchai b'chus and kachim where you're liable to replace them if somebody cheats you on your sale of the original animal which got a mum. So yeshla or vice versa, I guess if you cheat the buyer yeshma noy, then there is no because you have a vested stake in this. Shenuchai b'chus, if you don't have to replace them. Ain't them or no, there is no noah because you don't no longer have a vested stake and therefore there is no ownership. Ha, you're selling it! But you're selling it, it's not necessarily ownership, it's just that you're selling on behalf of Hekdesh since you have no vested interest remaining in it in order to replace your initial korban. Rabbi Yudomer, Av Sefer Torah, Behemo, Margolis, a Sefer Torah animal, and a pearl. Aim lamb or neither, there's no neither. Of course, we'll explain why. Amrullah said, not true, Amrullah said, they only said the things mentioned the Resha, Shtaris, Karkos, Hekdeshus, and Avodim, but these latter things, Sefer Torah, animal, and pearls do have Onoi. So why do you pick these things? You don't have Sefer Torah, Aim, Margos, Aim, Lamb, Onoi, Sefer Torah, and Kate Sadamov. There's no value, no specific value for Sefer Torah. It depends on too many variables, so therefore there's no way to assess it. Behemah Margolis, a single animal and a single pearl, Tzurcha Mozavka. They also don't have a set value because when you used to plow or pull a carriage, you used to always be a pair of animals. And of course, you want to make earrings, you used to have a pair of pearls. And certainly, if you need a pearl necklace, so then you need many, many pearls. So everything, their value in of themselves as individual entities is hard to assess, and therefore, for Rabbi Yudel, there is no no. So they said to him the obvious answer: everybody wants to have more pairs of everything, and nevertheless, we somehow find a way to gauge everything individually and independently. Tiny Rabbi Yudel and Mesei Omer Saif. A sword, a sus, and a horse, who treats, and a shield, B'milchama, when you're selling them in war, obviously to the warriors, there's no concept of anoya because there is no absolute value to them because the warrior needs them far more badly than any absolute value can indicate. Okay?
All right.
Yishkoyach?
Good.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.